listening to the best in Belfast podcasting. This is the Bimmo Podcast with
Jared
and me, Alex Jones. I am the Alex Jones of Belfast podcasting. This is the only platform that doesn't ban me from posting stuff. I am sick, sore and tired of Facebook saying I breach community standards.
I'm fed up getting notifications telling me that you don't.
So I run most of the social media stuff. Jared does all the stuff in the background that nobody really sees or knows. So I do all the social media. And I think it's from about November, I've been banned about 5 times.
If you're lucky.
And
maybe more.
Couple of them were okay, fair enough. Copyright infringement, because you know when you used to watch movies.
Well, there is over 15,000 people on the page. So
16?
Over 16,000 people
and
18,000
like the following.
Followers.
But who's counting? You know how you used to watch films years ago and it says, oh, this is copyrighted and federal law and you can be prosecuted, copyright, blah blah blah.
You only got them if you were watching the illegal ones though.
So I put up one or two posts. I think one was UFC and one was something to do with music. And I thought, you know what, right, okay, fair enough. All the laws changed back in the summer.
Do you remember the music one? That was actually a funny video.
Yeah.
And then, what was it, Gina Z?
Saturday Night. And that was okay. But they said that breached community standards because I put up a picture of a coronavirus mask, which so happens to double as a GIMP mask. And various forms of this. So, you sent me the wee notification saying,
Anthony Sargent, you've been banned from Facebook.
And you politely worded it that I should stop doing inappropriate posts. So, I went on and I read the wee community standards for sexual and nudity.
Pardon me, I didn't see what the post was at this point. I just seen that they'd been banned for it.
So I went on, and I was, because what was it last month it was banned for? Oh, putting the picture of the dick up. Okay, fair enough.
That was brilliant.
It was a wee
snippet
of
the t-shirt.
A dick, but it was funny.
Oh, it was brilliant.
All right. And I read the wee standards, and it says, sexual nudity, this, female nipples. None of it. It's a piece of leather that was a mask that is interpreted as sexual. So, I just have none of it. I put a review in. I couldn't speak to a manager. But I put a review in, Jared.
A strongly worded letter?
Well, they didn't give me the option, they just said, we'll review it. And they came back and they said, we're sorry. And then what happened? You go to what?
You try to use your Facebook? And
no, before that,
you
the
press
wee,
the
sorry bit.
So it doesn't show you the full apology? So no. You have to press the wee three wee dots and you hope to open more, read more or something?
Mm-hmm.
And no, it doesn't actually show you anything more. Just brings you back to the best page in Belfast podcasting.
The Bimmo podcast page, Belfast in my opinion. Go and have a wee look at it. I wonder would it be on the pages section. You know how, because you're doing a multiple one.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go into my coat pocket here so people might hear.
But anywho, they said they were sorry and they've allowed the post to be put up. So if you go to Facebook and go to Belfast in my opinion, and you'll see the wee picture of the coronavirus masks / GIMP masks, depending on how you're inclined. But they've now slapped me. Before it was a week span. They've slapped me. They've impeached me. They've taken away my voice, my platform, to express myself as an individual. As many constitutions around the world entitled me to do, and they have banned me for 29 days and 6 hours. Fucking whores.
Does that mean I have to do the Facebook page or can you post?
I can't like, I can't,
I have to do it,
sure,
I had to do this last month.
Think of all the Facebook competitions that I'm going to miss out on, Jared.
Is it your own profile?
Yeah,
this is what we discovered last month, wasn't it? You were I said no Nick, it's let me post, and I was posting on the page and you were like, but it's not letting me post at all.
Well, let me do it on the Bimmo or my personal one.
Just think of it as Lent. 40 days and 40 nights. Just do an extra 10.
I know, but see it's going to sound so stupid, right? See if I log out of my Facebook. See, to get back in, I have to download an app, a code generator, because I'm an admin on that page.
Right.
So I have to re-download that app, get a code, and type it in. And then there's two other apps that I use to get videos. I have to do it with them again. So that's like 5 minutes out of my life. It's like getting a haircut. You put it off as long as you can. But I will have to do that again if I sign out.
Devastating.
So all the laughs and the lols and the angry emojis on the Bimo page will probably be a lot less.
So maybe I'll step my game up. Who knows?
I know, but then I feel bad because I send you, like, you seen that week, like, I actually limited.
You bombard me.
I limited what I sent you because the stuff I see, I would put it up, and then you put it up on one. On Instagram, I tend to put stuff on stories. But I was like, oh my god.
Does your Instagram work? Can you do, what about?
No.
No.
It'll let you do it, and then about 20 minutes later, it says there was trouble posting to Facebook. Can't do nothing. N-A-F-F-I-N.
What if, and I quote, here, this is an idea. What if I make it a Facebook profile? A new one? That you only use for the Bimo page? We'll make that one the admin.
Again, more passwords, more. Fuck after.
Just make it the same password.
No.
You can use your work email. Or your Bimo pod email, there you go.
I could do that, actually. But yes, I've been.
See? Solutions.
Railroaded off the interwebs of Facebook, just like Alex Jones.
To be fair,
I have had my voice taken away. Alex, in solidarity, brother.
In some cases, it's for the best. In some cases. Not all cases. In some.
How come it's okay for me to put a video up of a woman in a supermarket taking a shite that has over 2 million views and over 4 million interactions, but I put up a picture of a leather mask and they ban me for 30 days?
Unbelievable.
What would you rather see? Somebody taking a shite in a supermarket or a funny... And actually, could help save your life. Piece of advice of a mask to buy that just so happens to be leather. Which is, let's be honest, if it's leather, it's going to last a lot longer. It'll wash easier. It's reusable. It's more friendly to the environment.
Though.
Only if you come on it. Or would you rather that post I put up about trying to save your life with a coronavirus mask?
You know what? I'll stand with you on this one.
Thank
the coronavirus
you.
Mask. Yes.
I'm standing with Alex Jones. So, keep it moving.
That's something.
People who aren't impeached, people who should be celebrated and commended.
Donald Trump.
Well, this person wears makeup and has long hair as well, but Lee McCourt from Belfast, she headlined Bellator.
Some job, wasn't it?
James Gallagher pulled out. Wee injury. God bless him. Did I tell you I met him, Marks and Spencer's?
No, wee fanboying over him.
A wee bit. We'll come back to Lee McCourt in a second. I was in, went to Marks and Spencer to get lunch. And I seen this guy at the veg aisle. I was like, that looks like Jimmy Gallagher. I went, I'm not bothering. I'll get him on the way back if I see him then. So I went around and got whatever it was I was getting. And I was walking back and I went, yeah, tell that to double Jimmy Gallagher. So I was walking past him and went, you ready for February? Because he was meant to be fighting on the 22nd. And he turns around and he goes, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Sit and student talk to me for, I don't want to. He was standing like in a vegetable, you know, two men standing holding vegetables. Could be a wee bit uncomfortable.
Aubergines.
Bananas. Zucchinis. So, just briefly talked to him about it, told him he was brilliant and all, I was looking forward to the fights, because I was actually going to go. But, weddings and all that. So, talking to him, lovely fella. Real salt of the earth. Anyway, you see the persona of him on TV and people calling him the name McGregor. Such a nice guy. Didn't have to talk to me, shook my hand and all.
You know what, he probably just appreciated that you were number
respectful.
One, you knew who he was, number two, you just went, you're ready for February, not, can I get a picture, can I get, you know, I know he's not superstar status, but
watch him a couple of years, he will be a
superstar. No, but what I mean is that I'm sure he still gets tortured enough that he goes, for fuck's sake, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're out shopping. There's nothing worse when you see somebody who's so low phone to you and talk to you.
Goodfellas Toilets was the worst one I had.
So,
have you ever been in Goodfellas Toilets?
Very, very cramped.
Picture somebody going, can you fucking sell me this phone? Yeah. What?
Stab your dick out.
In hand.
Do you mind?
truthfully, been abused many a night out there.
I haven't been too bad.
Some of it's abuse, not as in.
That's just bad there.
It's just bad there, yeah.
But anyway, back to Lee McCourt. headlined the Bellator Dublin card. But it was a 2 weeks notice, and
one month.
She got herself in a wee sticky situation with a wee armbar and got herself rolled out of it. A lot of people made a panic. They ended up getting tapped out, but she rolled out of it. Great performance. And do you know what was really nice to see? See when you're watching, like, you see all the wee clips and stuff. She was saying she was trying to cut weight, and obviously cutting weight's a real bad process. So she says she was either laying in the bath or now like a heat blanket around her with the salt. And she got a wee message from her daughter and says it just brought her to life and got her smiling and stuff. The daughter sent her a message saying, "Mummy, I'm so proud of you. You're doing our family really proud and stuff." And she says that just gave her like a new lease of life and was really good.
Give her that give up and go, or get up and go.
So no matter how low you are, you can get back up and you can go
back. Yeah, I mean, we've seen friends recently have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So well done, Lee McCourt, doing everybody proud, doing women proud, doing Bellator proud.
First woman, the main event,
Bellator Europe. They've had people doing main Bellator. She's the first one to do Bellator Europe.
They don't count.
What is it?
They don't count.
No.
Bellator Foreigners. Europe, that's where it is. That's where it's at.
Absolutely. All about Ireland. Did you see as well, at the event, Karen Frampton went to it. He was giving her props, and he done a wee face-off with James Gallagher.
Oh, did he? So was it done as banter, was it? Or
was it done as
the teaser?
No, it was just banter. It was just them two standing side by side.
Boxing and MMA words don't really cross too well, do they?
No.
That's what I mean.
No. Do you know, it's a creepy segue into the next point. There was... We'll get on to the main topic, Fury. Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champion in UFC, put out a tweet after he destroyed Deontay Wilder, saying, "I'd love to stand in the ring and sing with you. Let's do this." Now, a lot of people forget Tyson Fury about, I want to say about 2012, 2013, maybe 14, said he would fight Cain Velasquez when Cain Velasquez was the world champion. And people just sort of dismissed it. So Tyson Fury have been spouting this, saying he's the greatest heavyweight ever. Man backs up what he says.
100%.
Man came from the depths.
The depths of despair and the hardships of life back to the top of the game.
And
still your lineal champion of the world.
Mm-hmm. Still undefeated. I've seen a few... You know, after he beat Deontay Wilder, people put up the comeback. Oh, the comeback's complete, is this. And I said, man, this isn't the comeback, this is a part of the journey. The comeback for him, if you listen to like a story on Joe Rogan, and he's talked about it loads of places, he was driving...
The Joe Rogan podcast with him was brilliant, I thought.
He was driving like over 100 mile an hour in a Ferrari, ready to ram it into a bridge. And then he stopped. That was his comeback. Getting up and losing all the weight was a comeback. This is just another part.
This is just the reward of...
I know the people meant well, but I thought to myself, no, he came back a long time before that. We almost lost, probably. In 2 years, you could probably turn around and say, he's the greatest heavyweight champion ever. We could have lost him in a split second. So, for me, he came back a long, long time ago. And
yeah, that's very well put, Anthony.
He's done... For mental health, he's been an amazing ambassador to show people
that you can't come back.
Yeah, because I was watching, I've watched it with Sinead, and I think of one episode left, is the documentary on ITV of him and Paris.
I haven't even started watching it yet, but...
Watch it, but...
I will, because you know what? He holds your attention. He's that good.
Yeah.
He can do... In the ring, he holds your attention, and... Different sports, he holds your attention when he's doing them press conferences. You want to listen to him. He's an entertainer. And
he's charismatic. He's a great message.
He has that aura, that effect there.
He actually says that. He says, when he's going to fight someone, he says, "See, whenever he's standing in front of me and he sees the hate and he sees the charisma, he says, he's seen me, he thinks of me as a big fat guy. He says, see, when he sees me toned, and the charisma and the aura, he says he won't know what to do." And most of the time, that's what happens. But see his mindset, right? He's still very up and down, and Paris touches on it. She says, like, after a fight, it's like you have that high.
Yeah.
But every Friday I'll tell you, see that after like a week, there's a big come down, and she's like, right, where do we go now?
How do you cope with it?
Like, is he going to go on the drink? Is he going to go and do this? But see his mindset. They're sitting in a restaurant, and they're talking, and the kids are there, and he wants the kids to go to like a normal school, but she wants them to have the traveller lifestyle, where you're like homeschooled.
Yeah, I'd seen that she wants them out of the proper school by 11 or something. Yeah.
And he said to her, she's like, no, this is a tradition, this is Disney, man. He says, but I set precedence every single time. He says, I hate dream killers. That's his phrase, I hate dream killers. He says, everybody told me that I can't do this, I can't do that. And he says, whenever you tell me I can't do it, he goes and does it. And see, to have that mindset, so few people in the world have that mindset. It's like, if you read the book The Secret, there's a part of it that always stuck with me, right? And it's about mindset, right? So obviously you have to have a goal, right? That's your number one thing. Have a goal, have an end, right? Have like a middle, and have sort of how you're going to get there. And the analogy they give you, so say we're going to drive, say it's 10 o'clock at night, right? Pitch black. We're in a car and we're going to drive to Cork, 350 odd mile away. Okay, all we can see is 10 feet in front of us, whatever is lit up by lamps and the headlights. And see, once we get to that other 10 feet, we see another 10 feet. We can't see Cork. We don't know what's going to happen in between. We don't know if there's going to be diversions, whatever.
But you know you can get there.
All you know is what the journey is. So as in point A to point B. And see the in-between, you just do bit by bit by bit. Don't worry about how you're going to get there, just let it happen. And I think that's a very important mindset to have, you know, don't get caught up in how am I doing right now, just keep going.
So, you know, The Secret's one of the books I've been wanting to read. I've had it for a long time. It's one of the ones I've been wanting to read, but
you said
never got around to it. I was literally looking to see if it's into the PDF.
You did, you sent it into the group chat. I have the book upstairs. You should have said and I would have given it.
It's definitely something that I'm gonna just 25th of January.
It's a bit corny, and see the stuff you have to do. Like I sit, so it's like, you ever hear conceive, believe, achieve? I sit in my car, right, and I talk to myself, because you have to put out to the universe what you want, and I sit and I say certain things, and I end up getting them.
Good.
So, you feel stupid a lot of the time, and you have to not be overly enthusiastic, but you have to believe it. And if it comes across as enthusiasm, it's like, I always say to people, see whenever everything's going great, things fly. It's see whenever things aren't going great, that's when you need to tune your mind to greatness. You need to be, that's when you have to be positive. That's when you have to go, right, everybody around me isn't, but this is what I'm gonna do. Because then that spreads. It's like, you know when you throw a stone in the water and you see the ripples? That's what it's like to me. But anyway, I'm done with boxing. Talk to me about the Fury fight.
The
it got deep there, didn't it?
The Fury fight, ha. It did, alright.
By the way, if anyone wants to book me as a life coach, let me know. Anthony at the Bimbo podcast.
He can give you his private Snapchat.
It's a premium.
Premium,
Or my OnlyFans account. Here, did you see that all get hacked?
No.
We'll go back to Tyson Fury in a second. Only fans account get hacked and everybody's in uproar that they're nature right there.
For free? It's just because it's out for free?
Correct.
Okay. It's not that they're nature out there, it's that
they didn't get paid. Well, they're saying it's because they're nature out there. Because they didn't get fucking paid.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Gotta earn that money.
Gotta earn $8 bills. Or pounds sterling, you know.
Big pebble.
Anyway, sorry, back to Fury.
So
speaking of naked people,
the Tyson Fury fight, it started with the WWE theme entrance. We had him coming out on a throne, and we had
because he's a gypsy king.
What I mean was, it was that over the top theatrics of an entrance, you know.
Do you know who it reminded me of? Prince Nazim. Remember he came out like that?
Did he come out like that?
He did before, yeah.
And then had Wilder. He came out with like this 40-pound suit on, which we'll get to.
He looked like Shredder, didn't he?
He looked, yeah, that's what Yeah, Shredder, that's the part, yeah.
Yeah, and Shredder fought four turtles and beat them and didn't complain, but anyway, continue.
So we had that at the start, then first round, Fury done exactly what he said he'd do. As soon as the bell went, he raced straight to the middle, well, raced straight up and started throwing jabs, punches, whatever. And
was he still moving like a welterweight?
Nah, he was moving. Yeah. He said he was like 19 or 20 pound heavier on this fight than he was in the fight before, but he wasn't carrying 19, you know what I mean? He didn't, wasn't
carrying
himself.
He looked
like
slimmer, didn't he?
Aye.
He must have been more toned.
So, straight away, the fight got off to a good start for him. He took one or two punches early on, nothing to worry about, and then he busted the inner eardrum somehow of Deontay Wilder, and Wilder's balance from that point was wrecked.
Did he? I didn't know he'd done that.
Aye.
Of all the stuff I've seen, I've never heard anybody bring that up.
That's why his equilibrium was off, because there was something inside his eardrum, that's why. And Wilder was literally, even in the third round after the knockdown and stuff, he was holding himself up on the rope, like balancing on the rope. Like, and to be fair to Wilder, to get through to what, round 6 or 7?
Seven, I think it was.
No balance and being wrecked. That's the reason he was put down so many times, because he was just off. But I mean, it was Fury that done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
it's damage.
That's why the fight was so one-sided. Even they were just hoping for one wonder punch from Wilder, which that wasn't coming.
No. Couldn't balance himself to get that power and generate that torque.
And then the fight, he had a wee sing-song, and he went over and he had a wee sing-song, and went over and was humble and said to him, "You're a great fighter, you know, whatever else." And that was
I don't know how people do that. An adrenaline-fueled arena filled with like 12,000 screaming people, and you've just beat the fuck out of somebody. Like, a couple of times I've been in the rage, and it'll take me a couple of hours to calm down. In order for someone to turn around and go, "You know what, you're good at it." I don't know how people do that. It's amazing to me. It must be like a conditioning thing.
Maybe there just was no real bad blood.
But your adrenaline
whenever
be going.
Whenever it was said and done, you know.
You still have an adrenaline dump.
Don't know, man. I mean, maybe it's something we can put to one of the fighters. Is
yeah.
So anyway, after all that, obviously there's the whole talk of the third match, and the only way there's not come out and said that it was because of his entrance that he wasn't used to carrying that extra weight, and he was so warm and it tired him out carrying 45 pounds of weight to the ring. But sure, he's now been seen training with a 40 pound vest on. So
he's on to a Rogan saying about that. He's training with that.
So
why not just say that the better man won?
Because that doesn't sell a third fight, does it? It has to be about selling the third fight. And
but what, see, to me a trilogy fight, a rubber match,
doesn't pay off because it's a draw and draw and a loss. I guess he was the champ, so he gets that rematch chance to win it back.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't have to give him the second fight.
Yeah.
And Fury won the first fight.
Yeah.
Fury won the second fight. And if there is a third fight, he's going to walk it again.
Definitely.
And then, will the Joshua fight ever happen?
See, the thing with it, do you know what I think the big obstacle with the Joshua fight's going to be?
Joshua's last chin?
No. Sky and BT.
But that's only over here.
That's going to be.
That's
think these fighters started to me.
No, but I mean, it's going to sell everywhere else in the world. It's not
just.
I get that this is the main market, but.
No, because that's what Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn's going to
do. ITV box office, that's where it's going
to
go.
That's at the shoot, they just put it on a neutral venue.
Who do you if Josh ever comes up against Fury, who you got?
I think Joshua would give him a tougher time because his conditioning's better. So.
Think he can take them bombs though?
No.
It's a mean, you know.
The thing is, trying to hit Fury, like I said, he moves like a welterweight.
He is quickly.
A heavyweight should not move the way he moves. And he's always so relaxed. Anytime I've
did you hear? Him, did you hear his punches? Did you see the knockout?
I heard a couple of them. The big red
MTK?
Hand.
MTK posted it on their Instagram.
Was that the one where they're, it's ringside?
Ringside, yeah. And they actually hear the punches landing. I'm like, what play? You know that?
It's amazing how they don't look like much. But
no, because it's like watching. Even when you're watching the UFC, sometimes you see big heavyweights throw and you think it's just like a wee
tap,
but it looks like that soft.
But it's just in the right spot. Because that's something me and our Rory always noticed, my brother. See when it looks like a weak shot, but the fighter goes down.
You see, I'm going to play it here and you can hear the sound. Boom, that's literally
that's iPhone quality, so you might not be able to make that out.
That's a quick 2-punch combo that just knocked him the fuck out. No, knocked him down.
You don't think there will be a third match, then?
Oh, he's accepted the rematch clause, as far as I know, but...
Is Dillian White not the mandatory challenger for the belt now, though?
I don't know what way
that works. I think so
he's going to have to fit him in between, is he?
Maybe. But... again, another big... boxing fight for UK and Ireland fans, so we don't have to set up the stupid o'clock too.
Do we talk about the boxing judges scoring the UFC?
Very contentious issue, but so
Joe Rogan's listens to have 10 judges or something to it.
And that's ridiculous. That's too many chefs in the kitchen.
But here, at least maybe one of them will watch a fight.
Do you know what they need to do? Do you know what the big problem is? I've seen a wee bit on Ariel and the Bad Guys, which Ariel Helwani, who is a media guy, who's been in MMA from day dot, and Chael Sonnen, the undisputed greatest undefeated fighter of all time. Anybody disagrees with me, fuck up.
Undefeated.
They were saying about takedowns being if you take someone down and they get back up, you shouldn't score that as anything.
Because it has to be meaningful.
Yeah. And this is where they think a lot of the problems coming from, because MMA scored on aggression, control, and damage as well as strikes. Although they have the boxing 10-9 must system, it's scored differently. Boxing is obviously the amount of times you hit your opponent.
Yeah.
So you could throw a million punches, but if they're all hitting gloves, it's no good. But with MMA, it's aggression, control, and damage. Damage is a big thing. So if you're taking someone down, What's more impressive, taking someone down or someone being able to scramble back up straight away? This is the balance.
That's right there. Were you asking me or were you telling
no,
me
it's
that's what the conundrum
is? So, you need to come up with a set of rules. And the thing with MMA, see, in every state in America,
it's governed by somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody else might say it's
they have like
how dangerous it can be. And
the core rules. And then they've a couple of the other ones, like a down fighter. In some states, one finger touching the ground means you're a down fighter. And another one has to be two. Or your palms have to be down. So there's many intricacies. Like New York, see if you call for a replay, that's a fade over. Things like that. So, it's strange.
Fair enough.
But...
didn't know that about New York.
Yeah, New York's...
yeah, I know New York's one of the worst.
Yeah.
For UFC or for MMA.
They only get in there, what? Went to Conor Dale 2016?
That's why it's still so new that they're afraid of it.
Yeah. But trying to come up with a set of rules for everybody and coming up with this is what this does and this is what this does. Alright, so...
who did you have in the Jones fight?
I gave it to Reyes. I thought the third round, he started well, and he finished well, and the in-between was close, so to me, I thought a judge would have went...
See, I thought Reyes won the first couple of rounds, then it went sort of more even than it did.
Yeah.
But
one thing that annoyed me was Jones was saying, my takedowns won me the fight. And I was like, no, the takedowns were in the rounds that they clearly won, 4 and 5.
Yeah.
The disputed rounds is round 3. Everybody agrees, 1 and 2, 4 and 5, clear cut. But it's the third round, and one of the judges earlier in that night give a controversial decision, shall I say, in one of the fights. I can't remember what fight it was, but I remember them saying when it was finished, and remember such and such a score in this,
who scored the other fight.
He was the one that gave it John Jones 4-1, and there's no way it was Jones 4-1. Some people had a 4-1 raise, but
I don't know. Controversial
is right. So they need to come up, but see, everything, I agree with what Joe Rogan said, they need to have it, but he's saying about getting this amount of judges, get that.
You just need people to know what they're scoring. Exactly what you said, they need to have a reason to score a takedown. Do you score a takedown based on what happens after, or the defense, you know? Maybe that's the way the score is. If it's defended, that's how you score
it. It goes through the
if there's a takedown and the aftermath is ground and pound, you fucking score for them.
Yeah, but see, as well, they were saying one thing, they should get people in who have done it, people who have done some form of martial art, because a lot of these judges have never done it competitively or trained it. Big problem with MMA, it's such a niche community, it's a niche sport and a small community. Everybody knows everybody, and you know, you've got 6 degrees of separation. See, with MMA, it's very rare that you have 2 degrees of separation.
Right, fair enough.
So then it becomes a conflict of interest. You know, is it a matter of you have to say, yes, well, I trained with him.
Yes, I have.
At 10th Planet Jiu Jitsu once with Eddie Bravo in 2006. You know, if you declare that, is that okay? Or,
you know, this means there's not enough separation between the fighter and a potential judge, or
and people like ex fighters might fight. Say, so you've got like Black Zillions, AKA Top Team. If you train in that gym, you're gonna be friendly, or know at least 15 to 20 fighters.
Yeah.
At least, that's not to say the people who have come in and out of that gym. So where's the balance again? You know, but.
Me either.
I definitely think people who've done the sport should be scoring it.
What about armchair judges? No? No balancer?
Well, maybe what you could do is, if you've a draw...
fan vote.
If you've a draw, have a fan score it. Have an independent fan just sit...
But, right.
But only call in his one if it's a draw.
I'm just thinking about this, just out of a random logic. So, Brock Lesnar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say he goes into the UFC and draws with fucking, what do you call that big guy being, when he was on drugs before?
Cain Velasquez?
No.
Randy Couture?
No.
Frank Mir?
No. I think it was like Lesnar's last fight.
Oh, Mark Hunt?
Mark Hunt, right? So.
I thought you meant the opponent was on drugs, sorry.
No. So Mark Hunt, Brock Lesnar fight, they draw, right? Popularity wise, Brock gets that fan vote all day, regardless of the actual fate. I suppose that's where it comes into disrepute, isn't it? Because he's so known outside of just UFC and MMA, whereas Mark Hunt, maybe not so much.
See, do you know what? WWE fans translate the MMA, not all MMA fans translate the WWE, though.
And there's a reason for that, too.
Yeah.
You know, in the day.
Well, they're both still real sports that you can gamble on, so.
Isn't it mad how much money WWE? I know, like, it's scripted. It's not. I'd never say that it's fake. As more as it's scripted. It's more like a soap opera.
It's a mad soap.
But at the end of the day, these boys can hurt themselves too.
Very badly. They taunt anybody that throws themselves on their back.
But isn't it mad how much interest and how much money they generate?
Yeah, it's a global machine. Global. But speaking of debacles and bad decisions, what about the football teams you support?
Oh, I thought we were going to bring this up. Devastating is the high I felt. I was gutted last night. 85th minute, I wasn't feeling too bad.
So what was the score in the first leg for Celtic?
1-1. And Celtic dominated the first half in the first leg, and second half, for some reason, they didn't make it.
No. Just didn't turn up.
No, I think we were there, and then I think we were there to protect the lead, a 1-0 lead, protect that away goal.
And listen to Barcelona.
They should have just. Should have got another one. It should have been killed off in the first leg. The home leg should have been, you know, just there for the fans to enjoy. But nah, not Celtic.
Nah.
So, yesterday, I'd said Celtic would win 2-1 before the match. Everybody was 2-0. Did not hear one person go, "God, Colton Hagen's going to win." Not even the Rangers supporter. And they were 9-1. Pretty much for Colton Hagen to go through.
Get a piece of that pie, no?
Oh, did that. Wouldn't have tossed it with a 10-foot pole. But Celtic didn't turn up yesterday. Key players were not performing. Scott Brown, non-existent in the match. McGregor. Then
too busy hitting prisoners.
It was a bad team selection and bad formation for Celtic. Lennon changed the formation that's been winning.
So what's more important to you as a fan? 10 in a row or Europa League?
So before we get into this, did you see the Kenny Miller interview yesterday?
No.
See, I was bringing it up quickly. So Kenny Miller was on some radio show yesterday with Talk another sport? Footballer. Kenny.
Or Radio 5 Live, maybe?
Let me see. Glenn Johnson, he was on it with, so I'll just let you read that. So basically, they were on some radio show yesterday and they were asked, Kenny Miller was asked, what's more important for Rangers, is it European success or is it the league? And he went, well, it's stopping Celtic from getting 10 in a row or 9 in a row, whatever he said. That was more important. And Glenn Johnson couldn't believe this. I'm telling you right now, I would have gave up European football before Christmas to beat Rangers in the league. The only way Neil Lennon can make this season up to me is obviously number one is to secure the league, and number two is on the 15th of March to make sure we thrash Rangers, because that's right in between their two European ties.
Right, okay.
And I don't mean 2-0 is not good enough.
How many points he's ahead in the league?
12.
How many games is left?
There's a break, so probably it's not one yet anyway.
Okay.
I don't know. Can't think of how many games off hand there's still left, like, but.
About 10.
Probably.
Okay. So.
And how did your team perform? How did you score last night?
So the next topic. see what you said there. Just saying, should we just do it back? I say Arsenal's doing Celtic. Just repeat.
Just replay and replace.
Again, seeing the first leg, see the second half. See once we scored that goal, we should have had another 2 or 3. Then come through. And the commentator actually said, he says, see now that they've scored, the floodgates could open here, and didn't turn up yesterday. And everybody, pretty much everybody, was going Arsenal 3-1, 3-0. I seen somebody saying 5-0.
The problem is that your team on paper,
it looks good. Ozil.
Aubameyang's a £100 million player.
Yeah. He's probably one of the best strikers in the Premier League right now.
Okay.
Lacazette's coming back into form. Pepe.
He seems happier, Lacazette.
Yeah, they all do. They all seem like they're enjoying football. They all like playing with each other. And I think Pepe next season's going to be very good. But nobody last night seemed to want to. They seemed like seeing that starting team. I was like, what the fuck's he playing so many attacking players? Give him a break. And then I thought, you know what, he might be going 3-0 half time and then do a load of changes.
All right.
But no matter what amount of goals you have, when you have Mustafi and David Luiz as your two centre backs, nothing is a guarantee. Now, see, in fairness, Aubameyang's goal, Peach, what a goal, worthy of winning a tie. Did you see it?
No.
It was like he was falling, it was like between a sideways volley and an overhead kick. It was just that diagonal in between. Beautiful goal. Don't know why I didn't start Martinelli either. Martinelli's a fantastic player. Martinelli wants to
as well.
Win. Right. He just wants everything. And then their goal, the player back to Bird Leno. And he shit himself. He didn't know what to do. He was like a deer in the headlights. So he kicked it out for a corner. And I actually thought to myself, Because I was in an emotional roller coaster. She knew I had to go upstairs now because I was screaming and shouting. And I couldn't. I mean, see if they scored their two away goals, that's it over. Why would you not just hoof it up the pitch? There was a minute left. A minute. And then they scored, took the corner, come out, went back in again, and they scored. Now, on the way back in, David Luiz, he was afraid to touch in case he scored an own goal. Most players probably would have just stuck it out for another corner. I don't have as much. I'm the first person to shit on David Luiz. I can't stand him as a player. But it was Bernd Leno's fault. To me, as punishment, he has to be dropped for two or three games. As punishment. Because realistically, that's our biggest chance of winning something this season. I mean, if you're lucky, you might get fifth. If we're lucky.
Might not matter. If an English team wins the Europa League.
Man City's things uphill.
And if an English team wins the
Champions League.
Then it can go right down to 6th or 7th or something, can't it? Madness.
Down to 6th and then 7th because Man City might be banned.
Yeah.
But the only thing, like I said to you earlier, the only thing that I can think of, I think Aubameyang's gone in the summer. Now, he was going to cry in the pitch because he missed, I wouldn't say it was a sitter, but he missed a very good opportunity. 9 times out of 10, he bangs it in. It just happened to be the one time he missed.
It happens. This is fair.
You can't blame him.
At least he tries for the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't go out and miss on purpose.
Yeah. And he looked devastated. He looked like he was going to cry in the pitch. And I think that's him going in the summer. As much as he seems to be enjoying life and football, I think he's going to go because he's like 31 now. So realistically, he's got 3 or 4 years left. But me only
Italy and then America.
I can actually see him go back to Germany quicker. I know people are saying Madrid, but I can see him go back to Germany quicker. But I think in the summer, if we don't get European football, I think quite a lot of players are going to leave. And that's my only saving grace, because they're fucking shit. There's no other. Like you said, on paper the Arsenal team looks half decent. It's not. It is not. We need a whole new backline. You can take Kieran Tierney and shove him back to fucking Glasgow where he came from.
Nah, I'm alright.
Saka,
you keep him.
Is phenomenal. Get him a great contract. And we'll get rid of Bellerin, get rid of Mustafi, get rid of Louise, get rid of.
Who've got left? Who you keeping?
Socrates or Sakharov, Kolasinac and Saka. Fuck the rest of them. Send them all away. Somebody was saying to me, "Oh, but if you keep Tierney and Saka, the man has played about 12 games this season, and about 8 of them in the Europa League, because that's he only seems to be fit on Thursday. The man
Apparently
is built like a regal filter.
Apparently he's going to Leicester."
For 25 million? No, I was selling for 50. You told me if he was in an English club, he'd be worth 50 million.
That's still not bad. Yeah, that's still make him a good player. I'm like, you're a fucking shit team.
But another debacle.
Debacle Central. Go ahead.
You know how my proofreading isn't great.
Right.
As has just been pointed out in the group chat many a time.
Okay. I know. Well, I have to correct.
A lot of the stuff.
A lot of stuff on the BIMO page.
Not anymore, you have to do it. wedding invites. Oh, my wedding invite. Had them designed back and forward, talking to the Lovebox wedding stationery. Check them out, very good. The ring Sinead on Wednesday. They're going to carry them up to be here for Thursday. And the ringer, like, we're sitting folding these, everything's printed. And we've noticed a spelling mistake.
Oh,
one word and all the correspondence in the sample card, nobody picked up on it. I mixed up an I and a V in the word invite. Innovate. But like the innovate,
must be just one of the things when you're glancing you just don't see it, is it?
But we said because we know what my spelling's like and I don't proof
it. Well, at least it wasn't just you.
And she knew it was cracking up at the end, and I was like, but it was me that typed that up, because she had thought it was them. But they had them the next day for us. She just had to drive down and collect them, which she wasn't really happy about. But
where are they based?
Oma, which is the problem. It's not like we're not happy then. You just go right,
should have got Marcus to collect them,
but I know. But Wedding Box or Love Box Wedding Stationery, class. I know I'm biased, but I think they're the best wedding baits I've ever seen.
I'll let you know on the next podcast, which will be after your stag weekend.
Jesus.
It's next weekend.
Maybe try and get one somebody in from the stag that...
Do it on the stag. Record it on the phone. Why not?
Get a wee Zoom.
I'm sure we could do something. Jesus, I don't know if that would make our, like, I don't know if... No way we'll have that one secret episode that very few people don't know about.
Don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. But speaking of weddings, I have one person who I want to invite. So I was like, said this name, should we invite like one or two celebrities? Try and get one that you could probably get, and then one is very unlikely to get. So I'll not say who it is. I'll show you off her. Because I sort of got something, but
this isn't like the Ross and Rachel thing where you have a...
We're on a break now.
No, the...
I'm fat!
Wasn't that them and Friends that had like a celebrity that if you could sleep with or something?
No. Looks like Tom Hardy be turning up. I'll be booking him. send that into the Bimbo page. Either on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Bimbo Podcast or Belfast in My Opinion type in. And give us a celebrity who you think I should invite to the wedding. And try and make it somebody realistic who might actually go. Preferably from like Northern Ireland.
And then maybe you might win the invite too.
You never know, you might get a free meal. But do you know what I seen? We're gonna recap with kneecap.
Here, sorry, just quickly. Just like quick 2 minutes because I don't think we've covered it. We didn't talk about the Eminem album. At all. Literally, I know we could do probably a full episode on it, but maybe just a quick, didn't you like it?
Loved it. Very dark, but it had a message.
I'm still playing it.
Are you?
It's still that good. Some of the beats are... Oh.
Did you see the special edition of vinyl and cassette tape you had?
No, I'm definitely going to pick up... I'm definitely going to pick up cassette tape first. Be unreal.
Nah, they were limited editions, so they might not have them anymore.
I'll try though, because my aunt has a... She bought a tape, not like an old tape player, like an old boombox. Well, just to have the tape player.
Serious?
It's just bad cassettes and all, it's funny. Like.
Very good. Very good album. Really liked it.
Favourite track offhand?
Either Darkness or... I don't know if it's my favourite track, but it's the one that I remember. The Stepdad one?
Stepdad, same thing, man.
It was. See the intro to Stepdad? I actually. I felt very uncomfortable listening to it. And.
You know what?
It's a reality that most people have to deal with.
I enjoyed it the first time that I heard it. The only thing I thought was like, right, well, this is clearly just a story as opposed to. I think, but then I was speaking to you, because we'd obviously met each other that day, and I was like, hey, have you heard this album? And from speaking to you, getting your. Perception of it, of what he was trying to say, is the message and stuff, and obviously, it was just listening to that, your perception and stuff from it, definitely made me see it in a different way. I was like, geez, you know what, you're right, he's just trying to get that message across, and see, for all the people that were bitching about that Ariana Grande comment and stuff, it's Eminem, fucking grew up.
Eminem has been controversial from day fucking dot.
It is a case of grow up, like.
Yeah. And it wasn't like he was making fun of it. It was just.
It was a throwaway comment. It wasn't even.
Yeah, but when you listen to the end of the track, you're like, I see what he was getting at.
Yeah, because it was all to do with like how sad and how bad these things are that happened.
I think he's trying to promote the message of mental health. You know, a lot of these people here are doing all these shootings and bombings. A lot of them are just people who have been let down by society.
The end of that's the Las Vegas. Shooting, isn't it?
I think there's a couple of other ones, like school shootings and stuff as well, and it's very, very dark, because, like, see with the Stepdad one, I obviously have a chat with someone else, and Gabrielle actually sent me a card that I should get for Sinead for Mother's Day. I'll show you, they ordered it, and it's actually class, and they know that there's people who come from an abusive background, whether it's step-parents or foster or just normal parts. It's like, I've never thought about that way of life, because I've had a great life, you know.
Yeah, so maybe we'll touch on that in another episode more in depth, but go ahead, we'll continue on.
Recap and kneecap. I think they're from the White Rock. I remember Cooley was down St. James's.
Yes.
I think it was because of them ones.
Right.
There were boys from down the road doing rap. Go and listen to them. Or Mark put me on to them. And they're on joe.ie and they're doing an interview. And they're the most smacked out people you'll ever meet in your life. But the thing is, they're very smart. They speak Irish and stuff. I know they come across, like, whenever you see them, like, fucking this, blah, 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 blah. But you don't get that successful by being stupid. They know, I think they know what they're doing. They're playing on it a wee bit. But I think they're being very real. They're being themselves. But it just comes across.
Let's check them out.
Do you know what? I've had enough of your shit, and we're going to end on this kneecap track.
Same.